Come bring chairs.
Okay, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back, or welcome to those who are new. For those who are new, my name is Yisrael Gottlieb, and I try to come in a couple of times a week and offer some, I guess, commentary, background, entertainment, and maybe insight, you know, in the sugyos in Basim Chol, this year Basim Chol of Taruvos. I don't claim to have any special window on halacha any more than anybody else does. I don't claim to have any special insight, just some experience in the field and having taken questions over the years and discussed some of these questions with some of the leading poskim of the time. So that kind of helps a little bit. And my goal is to try to help you broaden your understanding of the sugyos, hopefully deepen it, as I said, to bring you some practical questions in halakha, so you can, you know, actually know what's going on. The classic spoon in the pot, Shiloh, you know, your basic rabbinics 101, and then more complex Shilohs, you know, in the last week. So the questions that have come in on, different levels. I fried onions in a dairy pot that I'm not sure ever was used for dairy, and I wanted to use those onions on my steak sandwich. So can I use the onions that I fried in a dairy pot that I'm not sure I was ever used for dairy with a steak sandwich? Okay, you know, there you go. Can you kosher a microwave convection oven the same way you kosher a regular microwave oven or not? What's the story? Somebody cooked an egg and cheese sandwich, non-kosher, in my oven, in my microwave convection oven. So what's the halacha with my oven now? Right? Of course, you get your classic Basar B'chol of Taruvos questions all the time. You know, everybody's got a windowsill in their home that contains the spoon that was trafed that they're saving for Erev Pesach, right? Like, it goes along with the lulav that you're saving to burn the chametz with. So you save the spoon also. Erev Pesach, you're going to kosher it. And everybody's got a cleaning lady, the same cleaning lady who trafed up the spoon. The same cleaning lady finds the spoon on the windowsill and puts it back in the drawer. So now I got a drawer full of spoons. I don't know which one was the trafed up spoon. I know it was the trafed up spoon in there. So now what? What's the halacha with the spoon, right? And then, you know, someone asked me this question this past week as well. Classic Shiloh, traveling, you know, you don't bring a lot of pots and pans when traveling. So am I allowed to cook rice in a dairy pot to eat the rice together with a meat meal? Simple, basic question. Can I not? Someone else asked a Shiloh, again, you know, we're jumping all over the place here in Basar B'chol of Taruvos. And it's become very popular lately that the various stores, Aldi does it, Walmart does it, Target does it, they sell prepackaged sliced salmon. So let's assume for argument's sake, let's forget about the argument between the Star K and the OU with regard to the skinless salmon. But let's assume, you know, there's skin on the salmon, you can see the scales on the salmon. So that you're going to devise a kosher fish, but it's been cut by a non-Jew. Can you buy that salmon? You're allowed to buy that pre-cut salmon. Are you allowed to buy pre-cut fruit from a grocery store or the like? All the major groceries, there used to be, you guys are too young to remember this, but there used to be these things called national chains or regional grocery store chains before there was only Evergreen, right? But there used to be actual other stores, not run by non-Jews and not necessarily kosher. They sell pre-cut fruit, watermelon, cantaloupe and the like. Pineapple, you're allowed to buy these things. You know, and is it mutter? Is it lechatchila? Classic Shiloh, and I'm not saying that it's necessarily a, you know, yes or no. Can you buy coffee in Starbucks? So Starbucks, you know, some of you who follow the hawk, there's a distinction in the CRC's approach to Starbucks between a kiosk versus a full-service store. So, and maybe a distinction if you're traveling versus if you're not traveling. Yes, no, why? What are the halachic questions involved? So I want to try to go into all this. I understand you started from the top, which is good. Problem with it is the following. In order to learn Hilchos Taruvos, you have to know Basar B'chalav. You don't know Basar B'chalav, you have to know Taruvos. So, you know, Shulchan Aruch very much like the Shas. I'll quote Rabbi Beryl Wein, because why not? It's within the Shloshim. Rabbi Beryl Wein famously once, more than once, said, Shas assumes you know Shas. Right? When you jump into Shas, so it doesn't expect you, it doesn't have any expectations that you're going to not understand what's going on. It just assumes you know everything already. And everywhere you pick up, no matter what Masechet you open up, the Tana Hecha Koi, right? Tana starts brachos already in the middle of a conversation. So Shulchan Aruch assumes you know Shulchan Aruch, and assumes you know Shas also, right? So Basa B'Cholv requires Tyrus, Tyrus requires Basa B'Cholv. My strong suggestion is that when you finish going through Basa B'Cholv and Tyruvos, you should immediately learn Basa B'Cholv and Tyruvos, right? Because once you've gotten the background and you now have the idios, so then everything looks different. When you see Simon Peizayin a second time after having gone through Tyruvos, so then Peizayin looks different. When you see Tzadi Ches after having gone through Basa B'Cholv, so Tzadi Ches looks different. For today, I don't want to go into anything too lumdish or too much involved in a particular sugya. I just want to give you an overview, a hekef of some of the things you're going to encounter in Basa B'Cholv Taruvos. And the reason for it is the following. If you've spent your life in yeshiva, and all of you I think have, so you've probably spent your life in Noshim Nezikin, right? You spent your life in, in Bava Kam, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. Maybe if you're in one of those yeshivos Sanhedrin, maybe, and of course, Yevamos, maybe, and Gittin, Kedushin, Ksuvos, obviously, right? That, I hope you've done somewhere, right? So the language, the vocabulary, what you're used to in terms of the learning is very different in this realm. A, it's halacha. B, it's a different vocabulary. It's a different kind of thinking. And it's also a different set of svar. You never come across the Shari Dura in learning Ksuvos or Gittin, I don't think, right? So here, you're going to come across the Shari Dura. So what's the Shari Dura? Shari Dura is Rav Yitzchak ben Meir Halevi, who lived in the 1300s in Germany. It's called Shari Dura because that was the name of the town in which he lived. And his sefer in Hilchos Isvaheter is one of the fundamental svarim cited by quoted and cited by the Ramah throughout, as well as by the Shach and other of the Achronim. So you'll come across these svarim, but you're going to live in Chulin and in Avodah Zarah and in Psachim and a little bit in Zvachim and a little bit in Machshirin and a little bit in Mishnayos and Shrumos, and that's where you're going to be rolling up your sleeves and diving in for the next couple of months, the next year's time. And you spend your time swimming in the Yam of Chulin and Avodah Zarah and in the Rosh and in the Rashba and Taras Abayis. And as I said, in the Shari Dura, Rambam, of course, Tosfos Mordechai as well, but it's a different mahalach in learning. It's a different vocabulary. You come across a lot of concepts that aren't familiar. And it's going to be important to understand these things. If you started Tzadi Ches already, so you've already touched on, especially if you started the big Shach in Sifkot and Beis, you've touched on concept of Tam Ki'ikar, which I want to go into Mirtz Hashem on Thursday. And Tam Ki'ikar is the idea, which is the following idea. I mention this every time we start these limudim every 3 years or so. One thing you have to do is you got to check your preconceived notions at the door when you learn Basa B'Cholv and Taruvos. Meaning, we all know Kashrus. We all know Kashrus. We all grew up with Kashrus all around, right? So we all have kitchens, and we all know Kashrus. But what we know in practice is very different often from the halacha. There's a famous maisa, I've heard this maisa many times over the years, with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and his Rebbetzin, that Rebbetzin had some sort of a shiloh in the kitchen, and Rabbi Yaakov gave her the psak, and the Rebbetzin told Rabbi Yaakov, you and your shulchan are going to trape out my kitchen. Right? You and your shulchan are going to trape out my kitchen, because the practices that we have in the kitchen are not necessarily aligned to the halacha. We kind of view basar b'cholov or non-kosher as cooties. That's a technical halachic term, right? It's like cooties. You stay away from it, there are halachic parameters as to how there is a transfer of tam of iser into heter or basar into cholov or vice versa, and how we deal with it. So, one of the basic yesodos in Hilchos, Basa B'Cholv, and Taruvos, is that tzonein b'tzonein, two items that are cold that come in contact with one another, are not going to have a transfer of tam. They may have a need for hadacha, you might at times have a requirement just to rinse off the outside of it because there's, you know, there's substance that's gotten onto it, but there's no transfer of tam. A transfer of tam is going to require one of three potential media in order to transfer the tam. One is heat, right? Heat obviously is the easiest way for tam to be transferred. That heat is the yadsoletisbo. The cutoff, kofhei we'll get to, is yadsoletisbo. If the temperature is below yadsoletisbo, there isn't a transfer of tam either. It also has to be a cliche, kli rishon, or maybe an iri kli rishon, klisheni. So klisheni, we'll get there in kofhei, lengthy shach taz. Right? Is it not maflu de mavliya at all? Is it not maflu de mavliya ka'achas? Is it maflu de mavliya in certain, in chumra areas? Or is it maflu de mavliya for those things that are rach, that are softer? But you have to have a parameter of the heat level. What's the heat level of yad soledes bo? So ayin, 2 years ago when we did Hilchos Shabbos, v'tzaref lekan, shen yuches kofhei are going to have a crossover. We'll discuss it at some length, but there's a broad range what yad soledes bo is. But a heat level below yad soledes bo is not going to cause a transfer, not in Basar B'cholov, not in Taruvos. The other possibilities for a transfer of flavor are Kovosh Kimavushal. If you have something that is, well, Kovosh is a machlokas amongst the Rishonim, exactly what defines Kovosh. You need a pungent medium like a salt water or a vinegar to create a Kovosh, or even a non-pungent or non-spicy medium like even a water will cause kavush if it sits for 24 hours. We paskin la'alacha that kavush is 24 hours, even if it's not that which is a pungent idea. It's a very interesting question that we'll get to, because is 24 hours of kavush the pshat that nothing transfers for 23 hours, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds, and everything transfers at that last second, or is it a gradual transfer, right? Nafkamina would be, is there ever a kavush in kalim? Because kelim are always after 24 hours, not b'nei yomun, right? But not within 24 hours, which I'll come back to in a second. The third means of transfer of tam is meliach kiroseach, which means salt. If you have salt, and we'll discuss that in more in Basar B'chol than Taruvos, although it comes up in Kofhei as well. If you have a salt medium that is eino nechol machmas mochol, it's so salty that you wouldn't eat it as is without rinsing off the salt, that will create a means of transfer of tam. So meliach kiroseach, or the kavush, or the heat. There are possibilities as well in terms of something that's either metuvel betavlin or mivushal already, if it's soft and it's permeable, that there could seep in tam or amashas. We'll get to there as well because it's a bit of an unclear standard in halacha. But those will call cause your transfer of tam. Transfer of tam. Anybody learning the daf? Okay, got a couple of people. If you're learning Daf Yomi, so this is actually a great time to start Basar B'chol and Taruvos. You come across a couple of Basar B'chol and Taruvos issues already right now. Yesterday's Daf Tosos had this din of Kavosh Kimavushal, and of course, you have the din of No Saint Tom Livgam, the last couple of blot, which is that when there is a flavor transfer from Isser to Heter, or from Basar to Cholov, and the like, there are two possible effects. Actually, there's multiple effects, but there's basically two possible broad effects of that transfer. One is a positive effect. One is a negative effect, right? So one is that the No Saint Tam, the flavor that's imparted, is l'shevach, that it causes a positive effect. That's aser, right? That will aser. And that is what's called in the parlance of halacha, tam ki iker. The flavor of the iser that gets into the heter is halachically considered like the iker iser, which is, again, you know, drop your preconceived notions and consider the idea. The Torah asered the pig. The Torah asered nevela lo sochal kol nevela lagera shebeshrechet din of achla. You can't eat nevela. Good. Basu besod betreifa lo sochela. Right? Treifa nevela chazer etc. No good. Okay. If I take a piece of kosher meat and I cook it with pork. In fact, I cook it in a pork sauce. Right. I make a nice, great, I don't even know what it would be, but let's say, you know, some sort of a reduced pork,
pork broth.
Yeah, broth. I'm looking for some fancy word that some, you know, foodie would use. What?
Au jus.
Yeah, keep tight. Right? So I make some sort of a pork broth, and I cook the meat in the pork broth. Then I take the meat out, and let's say, forget about Rabban Raivin, I make a bracha shakol niyabidvaro on the meat, and I eat it, right? And you come to me and you say, you know, Rabbi, Torah asks there's pork. And I say, I know. And you say, if you eat that, you're going to get malchus. And I say, af al pi kein ani osa, and toka de dibor, I eat it, and there's two eitim. Right? And you say, okay, you get malchus. I say, what are you talking about? I didn't eat pork. I ate glad kosher meat. It's got 42 hashkochos on the meat. Everybody who's ever worn a black hat has blessed this meat. Right? It's got every hashkoch in the world on this meat. But it has pork flavor in it. Okay. So where's the pasuk that asks the pork flavor? You show me a pasuk. Where's the pasuk that asks the pork flavor? Torah asks there's the chazer. I didn't eat the pig. I didn't eat kezias of pig. I didn't eat a mashu of pig. Hey, kosher meat, pig flavor, right? So I didn't eat pig. I didn't eat, I didn't have a shear. So do I get malchus or not? So that's a major machlokas Rishon, which believe me, I want to go into on Thursday. We definitely paskin tam kicker, which means that the flavor of the iser that goes into the heter is considered lahalacha like the actual iser. Is it dil raisa? Is it dil rabbanon? Is it a deal raisa, but it's not a chi of malchus? So it was a major machlokas rishonim bedavar how to understand tam ki'ikar. But tam ki'ikar means the flavor is like the issue. If you started tzariches, have we started tzariches?
Yes.
Have we dug into the big shach?
Oh, you're
no, not yet?
One day.
Okay. One day is not enough. So you're going to dive into the shach, right? We're going to get into tam ki'ikar. Right? Is tam kikar deraisa or not? This is all about tam kikar, the flavor that's going to come in. Now, when iser and heter combine, there are again two possibilities. Possibility is min b'mino versus min b'she'eno mino. Meaning, I can have, certainly basu b'chol is always min b'she'eno mino, unless basu b'chol is chanam, which we'll come to. But I have two possibilities, iser and heter combine. One is that the flavor of the iser that comes in is different than the flavor of the heter that comes in. Two totally different flavors, right? So two totally different flavors that combine. In that case, there's clearly a conflict between the flavors. And in that case, the halacha is that it's been no same tam. The iser would aser the heter if there is flavor in the heter, because it's tam ki'ikar. Good. How do you determine if there's nesinas tam? So you determine if there's nesinas tam by, well, simple, it's tasted, right? And the Shulchan Aruch says, it's based on the Gemara in Chulin, and based on the, almost all the Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch says, so ask a goy, right? So, good. So, I have here a pot of heter. Iser fell in. Paul, do me a favor. Taste this. I want to know if you can taste the pork flavor. What do you say? No pork flavor. Shkoyach, thank you very much, mutter, right? Because he paskin la halacha, it's mutter. So it's mutter. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah does not rely on Timas Kvela, and we'll get to the why, but the Ramah goes like, we just had it in the daf today. If you haven't learned today's daf yet, so if you don't want to get the punchline, close your ears. But the daf today has, b'chol yisur and shebet Torah are measured b'shisha. Right, the Chachamim, as is the proclivity of the Chachamim all the time, to create very clear standards that are uniform. The Chachamim created a uniform standard no matter what the Issur, no matter what the Heter, except for the exceptions, right? But the standard is 60-1 will dilute the flavor of the Issur enough that it's not detectable. So if I have 60 parts Heter to one part Issur, will dilute the flavor of the Issur enough that it is not going to be detectable. The truth is, but that's not enough. Meaning, your 60-1 is enough to mevatel the tam. But if I have the actual iser there, I still can't eat it, right? In other words, let's say I have a cholent, right? We're gonna have cholents that get pork in them all the time this year. We're gonna have a lot of them. So I have a cholent, and the cholent gets a piece of pork in the cholent, and there's 60-1. There's 60-1. So I'm now gonna dig in and eat the whole thing. Now you come to me and you say, Rabbi, you know, there's a piece of pork in your chon. So I know. But I learned tzariches, right? And I know, shishim, 60-1 is enough to mevatel it. That's why you got to do the whole basar mechalav and terumah before you start eating the cholam, right? So off, right? Your rabbi, you didn't learn kuftes, right? You got to get there. So I learned tzadiches. I know 60 to 1. No, but that's not enough. You still can't eat pork. You can see the piece of pork. If it's nicker, it's not batel, right? I certainly can't be batel if it's there and I can see it. So if I can find the piece of pork, that's no good. Can't eat it, right? Davar pashut, even though there is a levush that holds that even a davar a nicker is only midrabban and not batel. Taz, we'll get to, goes crazy on the levush. The levush, based on sukkah, says that even if it's nicker, midrabban, it's batel. But okay, certainly midrabban, you can't eat it. Good. So I can't eat the pork that I know. Now, I got the same cholent. The pork fell into it. The problem is I can't tell the difference between the pork and the meat. I got a bunch of pieces of meat, a bunch of pieces of pork in the cholent. So now what? Now what? So if there's only flavor, good, right? If it's only an issue of time, as long as there's 60 to 1, I'm good. If there's a lot of rotep, there's a lot of sauce, a lot of liquid in there, batel v'tam. But now the actual mamosho, so there is a din, this is yavesh b'yavesh, when it's the item themselves, so din of bitel b'rov. Midaraisa, it's batel b'rov, right? So as long as I have two parts heter to one part iser, even not even 2 to 1, just more heter than iser, it's going to be batel b'rov, right? And that creates a fascinating reverse issue, which is the following, right? I'll break down the issue in two parts. I have two pieces of heter meat, and then a piece of iser meat falls into it, and I can't tell what's what. I can't tell what's what. Okay. Can I eat that whole mixture? So that itself, let's assume for argument's sake, the meat is the same flavor. It's three pieces of steak. You can't tell the difference for whatever reason. The goy salted his non-kosher meat, so it's not a dam shayla, because that's a different cheshbon. But they taste exactly the same. Okay, can I eat all three pieces of meat? So, three machlokas rishon. The Rosh, yes. The Rashba, not the same guy. The Tosus Rid, if you do, you get malchus. Right? So, you better be careful who you ask the question to.
Same guy, or was it not the same guy?
What?
It was supposed to be not the same guy.
I can't eat all three.
Oh.
But you could eat one, you could eat one, I can eat one. Because if I eat all three, midirabanon, the Rashba says, so I'm definitely eating the Dover Isser. Right? The Rosh says, Nepach Isliyos Heter. The Isser becomes Heter. You can eat all three. The Rashba says, no, the Tosas Rit says, you ate a piece of Isser, you get Malkos. Right? You're going to get Malkos for it. So we'll come to that. We'll come to that. But there's another concern here, which is the following. What would happen if, let's say, I have my three pieces of meat, two Heter, one Isser, and now I cooked it. Let's say I cooked it. So if I cooked it, well, one second. Now, I'm not just dealing with an issue of yavesh b'yavesh, of the mixture of two items, without a flavor transfer. Now I'm dealing with a flavor transfer. Now it's not 2 to 1. Now I would need 60 to 1, right? Now I need shishim. So do I have to be concerned when I have a mixture of yavesh b'yavesh, two items that are dry, that I will come to cook them, and then I'll need shishim? The answer is yes. Yeah, you need to be concerned. But only if it's min b'she'en omino, if they're two different flavors. Because they're two different flavors, in that case, the halacha dictates you need 60 to 1. But if they are min b'mino, two of the same flavors, so then that gets a little bit more complicated and a little more simple. Right? Because you have a min b'mino, two items that are the same, so then there's a machlokas min akotze el akotze in the shas, machlokas tanoim rebihudim the chachamim, and a machlokas amoroim, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav, and Shmuel, machlokas rishonim, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, etc. Do you say min b'mino is not batel at all? There's no bittel, right? Like the Ran explains in Maseches Nidorim, if I have two items that have the same flavor. So where's the conflict? Where's the fight between them? It's not, it's not the UFC fight at the White House between between your steak and steak. You got to do a lot of homework before you come in. I should give Myra McComos on the on the outside points as well, right? It's not. It's no fight because they're identical, right? It's no bittle. On the other side, there's no Nesinas Tam. It doesn't add flavor, right? Because I'm not getting anything more out of that. So according to the Chachamim Shita, min d'mina was batel b'rov. I don't need a shishim. I don't need 60. It's batel b'rov. According to Behuda Shita, min d'mina was never batel. Rashi paskins min d'mina is not batel. Beinatam paskins batel b'rov. We paskin like that opinion that a min d'mina is batel b'rov. But we require shishim midirabbanan. We require shishim midirabbanan. Why? Otu min b'sheino mino. Again, like I said before, the Chachamim's rule is keep it simple. So always require shishim, you're going to be safe. But a min b'mino yavesh, min b'she'enu mino rather, yavesh b'yavesh, two items in one, the same variety that mix together. So in that case, the chachamim are going to not require shishim because the shishim by min b'she'enu mino is dirabon, you might come to cook it. To require shishim now by min b'mino, because you might come to cook it, and then you might come to do the same by min b'she'eno mino, that's already a gzera l'gzera. Now, you're going to come to, very shortly, Mir Tzashem, how to define what's called min b'mino versus min b'she'eno mino, because you're going to come to the big question, and that's really the crux of the issue here. What difference does it make? If min b'mino or Tom Kick, or rather, is Del Reis or Del Rabban, at the end of the day, we're rabbinic Jews, right? I said before, it's machlokes if Tom Kick is Del Reis or Del Rabbanon. Okay. And in practice, I mean, all of you, I think, light Hanukkah candles, right? You all hear Megillah, right? I'm assuming. I'm making some assumptions about you, right? I assume that you wait between meat and milk, whatever time, you know, period you wait based on your Mesorah, right? You follow Rabbinic Judaism. So if that's the case, what's the difference if it's Deraisa or Derabon? The difference, obviously, is, well, I don't say Hefsim Ruby, you're not going to be Mater on a Derabon and a Hefsim Ruby, you're going to be Mater Hefsim Ruby when there's a Machlokas in Psa Kalacha, but the classic Nafmi is a Suffolk. If you have a genuine Suffolk, so, you know, always, the first thing you got to know is we're dealing with a Deraisa or Derabon. We're dealing with a Deraisa, genuine Suffolk, Suffolk Deraisa Lechumra. Dealing with a Derabanon, Safek Derabanon Lekul. So what's defined as a Safek, you're going to get to immediately in Sadi Ches, because if I don't know if there's Shishim, that's not called a Safek, that's called measure it, right? I can't just say, I have a Safek because I'm too foolish to be able to figure this one out. But if I have a reason that I can't measure it, then it's a genuine Safek. So if you hold Tom Kicker's Del Raisa, then if I have a Min B'She'enu Mino, two different varieties, and I have a genuine Safek, it'd have to be Machmir. Well, it's Derabanon, then not. Min b'mino, which means Derabanon, requires Shishim. So as long as I know there's a Rov, in a Safek, I can be Mekel. How do you define min b'mino versus min b'shem? Just those who are doing the daf, again, just came across this Abai in Rav. I had this Machlokas in, I think it was Shabbos' daf, in Avodah Zarah. And Machlokas between the Ramah and the Shach, had a paskin la halacha. Is it basar shma or basar taima? Do you follow the name of it? Is it called min mino or min b'she'enu mino? Or like the shach, who makes a convincing argument that it goes basar taima, it's a flavor-based issue. But you're going to have, again, you're going to have to determine, am I dealing with a min b'mino, min b'she'enu mino? Do I need shishim? Do I need rov? And do I have a bittel of both or not in these particular cases? You're going to come across through the course of Basar B'Cholov and Taruvos, both terms and ideas that are, you know, like every other mikzoa in Halacha or L'Havdil Elef Alfei Avdolos, any field. There's a certain vocabulary and a certain jargon that becomes part of the field. And terms are used in ways that are not necessarily the simple meaning of the term. And you're going to come across terms that are going to seem unfamiliar to you, but they'll become familiar. Like you'll come across the term Hanan, right? So Hanan is not an Israeli name of a guy in the army. It is, right? And you should daven for him too. But Hanan stands for Chaticha Nasis Nevela, Chaticha Atzma Nasis Nevela.
Also stationery store.
Right? Is it? Okay, there you go. So, you know, Chanan Chatich Atzma Asadvila, what does that mean? So it means in practice the following shayla. It's a great shayla in halacha. Machok is mechaber ramah by shar yisurim. The ramah will be mekel there a hefzei meruba or the like. But I have, let's say, a piece of kosher meat. And the piece of kosher meat is cooked together with some non-kosher. Let's say, I'll give you the example. I'm not a piece. I have 59 parts kosher meat into which falls one part non-kosher meat. So by now, this one you should be able to paskin la'alacha, cooking on the stove, and into the, all the meat is below the waterline of the sauce, of the gravy, so that will make it simple, right? All the meat's below the waterline of the gravy, and the non-kosher, the piece of pork, falls below the waterline as well. And it's hot. It's yad to lettuce, both of kuli alma, it falls in. And it sits there long enough to heat up, and there's no, you know, need for stirring or anything like it. It's all below the waterline, very clear. I have 59 parts heter, one part iser. Okay? Now I'll ask you, Rabbi, you make the call, can I eat this cholent? No. Okay? Can I add another part of heter and then say yes? Okay. What? Well, so, Mubat Lizchatila, Chanan, both, right? You have both shayles running simultaneously, and maybe they're Haba Hatalia, meaning, so I could say, well, one second. No. Now, adding one part's not going to help you, because now each piece of head there itself was Nepach Lios Isser. In other words, I don't now have 59 parts head there, one part Isser. Once they mixed together, so now I have 60 parts Isser. So now I would need 3,600 in order to mevatel.
But you did it right away.
So how fast is right away?
I'm talking about within you put the meats in there and you realize someone just dropped a piece of pork in there.
So I'm not, you can't put it in because that's mevatel. But let's say it fell in, right? Let's say it fell in. So good. That was my next question. Oh. You jumped ahead of my next. No, beautiful, beautiful. It means one of us is thinking right. Right? Jumped out of my next question, which is, okay, I have 59 parts heter, into which fell in one part iser, and then afterwards another part heter fell in by itself.
Oh, why can't you put it in right away? You yourself put in the heter.
Because I always said before, because then you have a problem potentially with mevatel lishtei lechatchila. Right? Or is it not a problem? Meaning, if you're marbe olav levatlo when it doesn't fall in, so if you're not learning Be'ya now, but you may have learned it at some point in time, not even at the yeshiva, but, you know, if you listen to Rav Gifter, you learned it Ben Azmanim. Nobody knows what I'm talking about? Nobody? Ah, you're all so young. I don't know who says what today, but Rav Gifter used to always give a shmooze before the Ben Azmanim and tells that Ben Azmanim is the time to learn the Masechtos you learn in yeshiva. You learn Be'ya, Tainus, Megillah, those Masechtos, you learn Ben Azmanim. So if you're learning Be'ya, Daf Dalet, so you'll have a raya, maybe, that no, in fact, there may be a heter in my levatlo. It's not enough to which you'll get there, mir tashem and tzadi tes, but maybe a heter to be my levatlo. Okay, so chanan would mean the chatich atzma, the heter, the entire thing becomes iser. So in basar b'cholov, that's consensus. Mecha b'ramah are in agreement. We say chanan. Chatich atzma nasis nevela. By other Isurim, the Mechaber holds not, the Rama holds yes. The Rama is Machmir. Which again, the Rama's Chumra allows for Heterim in other areas. Chaticha Atzmanach and Zavela is the flip side of another Shaila, which is Efshel Lesokhto Osir versus Efshel Lesokhto Mutter. Which means the following question, which is, could that piece of Isir be Nepach Lios Heter? In other words, what would be if I have, again, 59 parts heter, one part iser, and that mixture becomes osir. Now, one of the parts of heter, the original heter, falls into another pot. I've got the messiest kitchen in the world, right? And, you know, everything that can go wrong does go wrong in my kitchen. Right? I think there are some hashkachos where that's the way they operate, but that's a different teshbon. We'll, you know, talk about that. I was just telling my Daf Yomi Shir today, I'll put this on recording, why not? You know, the today's Daf has the fact that if you're Maflig, and the Akum knows you're Maflig and not coming back, So then there's no het there because he knows you're going away, not coming back. So here in this community, there's at least one store, we'll call it Monk and Monats. No, it's going to be Motzi Laz on the actual store. We'll call it Monk and Monats, where at the very least, they know for sure no one's walking in on Shabbos. 25 hours a week, they know for sure no one's walking in. Right? No one's coming in, no one's looking bichlal. So Aleph Beis of Ashkocha is that's not Ashkocha. Right? Aleph Beis of Ashkocha is that's not Ashkocha because there's nobody coming in. And the Ovdei Kol Chol, they know there's nobody coming in. Right? So, but yeah, you got the messiest kitchen in the world. So I have a pot of, and I always do things in numbers of 59 just to make sure it's going to be a problem. Right? So I have 59 parts head there, kosher meat, into which falls a piece of pork. Same size, they're all identical size pieces, just to make it easier for you, right? Into which falls a piece of pork. I said last year when we were learning Hilchos Nida that women don't cooperate to make it simple. So my pot will cooperate to make it simple, right? So 59 parts, head there, one piece of pork falls in. Good. That pot, consensus, awesome. Now, one of the pieces of meat that was had their meat before falls from that pot into my next pot that also has 59 parts heter. So question one, Altchanan, is do I need now 60 parts to that one piece of meat, or I need 60 parts to the ratio of Isra in that meat, right? If you say Chanan, I need 60 parts to that one piece of meat, I don't have it. If you don't say Chanan, all I need is 60 to 1 of the ratio, and the ratio is only 1/59th of the piece of meat. So I for sure have it. I'm for sure good, right? That's one shiloh. The other shiloh, which is a possibility, is if I, even if I, let's say, have the ratio, I have 60 to 1. Let's say I actually had 60 to 1 in this pot. So is it possible that that piece of meat becomes heter again? Meaning, is it possible to argue that the iser that was in that piece of meat actually now dissipates and comes back out of the piece of meat and now spreads throughout the heter, so it itself becomes mutter. That's efshur l'sokhto. Efshur l'sokhto also means that we say that can't be, remains aser. Efshur l'sokhto mutter.
Would that be the same machlokas as three machlokas, whether you can eat the whole entire thing or you have to give it to
No, them? No, because that machlokas is where they have vaday, that's not where you have a piece that's absorbed from iser. I have a piece vaday iser. No, a piece vaday
iser. That's right.
That's a separate cheshbon which we'll have to get into. Right. Meaning, what's the makor for bittul barov? Right? What's the makor for bittul barov? And how would it apply here? Meheicha teisa, where would you get this din? That if I have two pieces of kosher meat into which mixes one piece of non-kosher meat, I can eat the whole mixture. I can eat the meat from there. Meheicha teisa. Right? So where you get the din of bittul barov from is going to make a difference here as well. It's also, if you, you know, one thing, if you've learned Suvos, I shouldn't say that, if you've gotten to the end of the first parak in Suvos, which is hard to do in yeshiva, if you got the Daf Tezvav, so you learned that if you have Teshech Anuyos Mochros Basar Kshchuta, V'achas Basar Nevela, right? So if you went into the store, you bought a piece of meat, the halacha is that piece of meat is also, right? Kol Kavuk Ha'matza Ma'atza Dami, and then you got to look at Rashi, and he goes through Martin Sanhedrin, so, you know, what's going on there? Right? To come a love or of low, but okay, you know, something about someone throwing a stone into a group and some Jews, some non-Jews, but you get the gist, right? Uvenimtso, you find a piece of meat, halach achar rov. You go by rov, right? So you go by rov there when it's nimtso. There's a different rov, right? These are different rov that we're talking about, because this is not a bit of a rov, this is going achar rov, but if you learn ksuvos, what you don't know is that's not la halacha. Meaning, in halacha, you can't eat that piece of meat. Because the meat still also alts exer the rabbanon alts basar shenis al min ayin, so that you cannot consume, because the basar becomes alser through means of basar shenis al min ayin. One of the other great concepts you're going to come across in Yeridei and Tzadihei is the concept of not bar not. Not bar not is where you have a no sein tam bar no sein tam. Right? It means that there's a secondary transfer of flavor, not an initial flavor. Daf Kufches in Chulin, Rav and Shmuel, Dogim Sha'olu Bikaro, Mutl Oklum Bukusav, Osl Oklum Bukusav. I have fish. And for argument's sake, now let's avoid the question about fish and meat versus fish and milk, right? Let's avoid that question. But if I have fish that were cooked in a meat pot, can I eat that fish together with milk? In a kusach is a dip that's made with sour milk and bread and salt. Can I eat that fish in kusach? What's the shaila? The shaila is the following. It's a dover poshut to all of us that if I cook the fish together with the meat, so tam ki ikar, the meat flavor gets into the fish. I can't eat meat-flavored fish with milk. That's for sure. Good. But here, when I cook the fish in the meat pot, I don't have the meat flavor going directly into the fish. I have the meat flavor into the pot into the fish, and it's still heter. And only afterwards is it going to kind of come in contact with the milk. So would a weakened level of flavor, a not the bar not the hetera, would that be allowed, or you'll forgive me, or not, right? Would that be allowed, or is it forbidden? So you have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara in Chulin, and a three of machlokas Rishonim as to how to apply this din of not by not. Is it bitzli? Is it bibishal? Is it only bi'ola, bikara? But there is an allowance where you have that. Not by not the surah, that we don't say. Meaning you have a klal of Isser Shibboleich and Halach, where did the Isser go? Right? Now, when it comes to Kalim, this is going to be important. I hope we get to Heksher Kalim at some point in time. Seem to try to squeeze this in. Maybe with Erev Pesach, you'll remind me or I'll remind you to remind me. But, we don't do Heksher Kalim in the course of this year because it's Basar B'chol V'Taruos, but your kitchen shilos always come with Heksher Kalim shilos. And they're standard as far as these issues are concerned. When it comes to Kalim, so the halacha dictates that blios in the walls of Kalim are going to present kashrus concerns either, right, basar b'chalav, or tarubos, right? That you all know, and that one you don't have to throw out from your mind, is that I can't use my dairy pots for my meat and my meat pots for my dairy, right? But I can use. Why not? Because there's tam, right? There's no saying tam. There is a chiluk, though, between lechatchila and b'di'eved, when it comes to kalim, they're not b'nei yoman. They're not b'nei yoman. Now, when you use the term b'nei yoman, I just told us the Baal Batim this past Shabbos during the Daf Yomi Shir, when it comes to shilos and halacha, when anybody starts using terms like ben yomo, ena ben yomo, I tell them, please, only English. I don't speak the language. Because people who know a little bit almost always use the terms wrong. They say the kalim is a ben yomo, then it was ena ben yomo. Say it was ena ben yomo, then it was a ben yomo. Right? So I don't want fancy terminology. Just tell me what happened beginning to end. Right? Tell me what happened. Okay? How much time it would happen? That's all I want to know. But a cleav, it's a ben yomo, means the cleav was used in the past 24 hours for whatever. Right? Cleav was used in the past 24 hours. If the cleav is a ben yomo, in that case, the bleos, the absorbed flavors in the wall of the cleav, are considered no sein tam lishvach. They impart a positive flavor, and they would asr the food that is cooked in there if the bleos are bleos of iser. If the kli is not a ben yomo, it has not been used in 24 hours, then the assumption is that the bleos in the walls of the pot are no sein tam livgam. In general, it could be that for a dover char if it's different, but in general, no sein tam livgam, and wouldn't asr. And I find in halacha, almost invariably, the same thing applies. People often will cook a food, I used a dairy frying pan to fry up a steak. Got in the shiloh half a dozen times. Use a dairy frying pan to fry up a steak. All six of the half a dozen times got in the shiloh, I'm rounding it off, but all the times got in the shiloh, person on the other phone said, I already threw out the steak, what do I do with the pot? Right? And unless the pot had been used for dairy hot in 24 hours prior, the halacha of the steak is mutter. The steak is mutter. If you fried onions with the steak, a different shiloh. But the steak is mutter. Now, the pot's a different shiloh. But the steak itself is mutter. Because if the food that was cooked in the pot, where the pot had not been used in 24 hours, then the blios are no sein tam livgam. L'chatchila you can't use it. Because the fact that we are l'chatchila concerned if we allow to use the pot after 24 hours, you'll come to mistakenly use the pot before 24 hours, and then the bleos that you have will asur your food. So we don't allow it lechatchila, but the evet, it's allowed. Big question, which is a very interesting question, halacha, is what about using a kli for another kli when it's no Saint Tom Lifgam, right? In other words, I'll give you the big shiloh that people always ask every single year Erev Pesach, right? So you're going to give Mirtz Hashem. Some of you may go into the Rabbanus, and you know you'll become a shul community rav, and you'll give. When did you start?
Basically, exactly a year. September 1st last year.
September 1st last year. Did you give a pre-Pesach shiur this year? So did all the women come out to hear what you have to say because you're a new rabbi? I had that experience when I started, right? So first year I was in the shul, all the women came out, even making Pesach for like, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. All the women came out because what's the new rabbi going to say? What's he going to say different? So it's very interesting because some of the things that people quoted to me in the shiur that they had heard in other shiurim, I'm sure they misheard because they were impossible in halacha. I'm sure they had misheard them, but they were quoting me all kinds. They were quoting me that when you kasha your counters, that you should make sure that there's the water doesn't go directly from the pot you're pouring from onto the counter. Because if the water goes directly from the pot you're pouring from onto the counter, then you have a problem of nitzel chibur, that the stream creates a connection. I mean, nitzel chibur would then trave up your pot. So I said, if it's true you heard that, so, you know, it's a big mistake in halacha, because what you're doing there is you're saying, okay, I'm going to take a chumra on a chumra on a chumra, right? An Eino Ben Yomo, irikli rishon, chametz pot onto an Eino Ben Yomo counter, and I'm going to be makbir on nitzel chibur, which you don't paskin is chibur, right? And then you have a nifsel chakiluch on irikli rishon, which is not irikli rishon, doesn't kasha your countertop. So basically said, so what you did is you didn't kasha your countertop, but you also didn't compromise the possibility of the kashas of your pot, right? So that you didn't do. I'm sure that they misunderstood whatever the person had that they had given this year before had told them to do. But one of the questions that comes up every single year, people can't get their heads wrapped around this, is, okay, Rabbi, I'm going to kasher my countertops, or I'm going to kasher my sink by pouring boiling water over the sink or the countertop. Am I using a chametz pot or a Pesach pot? Because if I use a chametz pot, what does it help? I'm going to kasher chametz with chametz. What does it help? And if I use a Pesach pot, so I'm going to trafe up the chametz in my Pesach pot. Right? So how does it help you? It's a good question. Right? So they're missing a fundamental concept in halacha, which is that once a kli is eino ben yomo, so then the halacha is you can use the kli for koshering purposes. Why? It's a very interesting idea, which is the following. If the initial absorption of the kli was no Saint Tom l'shevach, in that case, you have to kosher the kli before you can use it. Can't use it unless you kosher it. We're gazrinon einu ben yomo ata ben yomo. But if the initial absorption of the kli was no Saint Tom l'fgam, the flavors that are absorbed are pogum, in that case it doesn't need anything. It's no worse than a food that was absorbed no Saint Tom l'fgam. It's mutter as is. So when you want a kasher, use a kli if it's not ben yomo, right? That's the rule. In other words, so that spoon that I told you about before, that's sitting on the windowsill because waiting for Erev Pesach, because there's a mistaken presumption you can only kasher Erev Pesach. There's a halacha that's brought down in Magen Avraham, a minig, I should say, an halacha, which the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't even think is such a minig, but there's a minig brought down in Magen Avraham that we don't kasher from meat to dairy except on Erev Pesach. When we're kashering for Pesach, then you can transfer from meat to dairy or vice versa, right? But otherwise, we don't. But to kasher something you got traved up, you can do any time. So that spoon that got traved up is sitting on my counter. And now I have to kasher it. In what? Right? Especially in this case, it was a dairy spoon. It was used to stir the chicken soup. Right? So it's basar, it's chalav. So I use my meat pot. So now I'm going to turn my meat pot into trafe dairy there. Use my dairy pot, I'm going to trafe there's meat there. Use my parv pot, och in vey. Now it's basar and chalav. Right? It's even worse. So what am I going to do? The answer is very simple. The answer is make sure your spoon is not ben yomo. Make sure your spoon hasn't been, it's been 24 hours since the incident that traped up the spoon and hasn't been used since. And make sure your pot's not ben yomo. In that case, when I kosher, So all the flavors absorbed from the walls of my pot and from my spoon come out into the water. They'll come back in, but they're tam pogum when they come back in. It's all heter. Now, that might lead to a conclusion that I can use no saint tam lifgam lechatrila on Caleb. That's a very, very nogeya shayla. In other words, I'm a kayim the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel three times a year to Orlando. I go Pesach, winter vacation in Sukkos, and I'm a kayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of Sholosh Bav Mashoni Yerichol Zechorcha, Espnei Mickey Mouse, B'chag HaMatzos, B'chag HaSukkos, and B'chag HaWinter Vacation. Right? So I'm a kayim the mitzvah. Good. So can I, when I'm there, use the dishwasher? Pesach is a different story. We hold Nosson down the Gamas also, but let's say Sukkos or, other times. Can I use a tray for dishwasher to wash my dishes? So you tell me, you're crazy. Right? You're nuts. Not so nuts. If David Feinstein held yes. We'll see if, in fact, his shita is a mainstream shita, but he held yes. But very Nogela Maya says, well, you move into a home. Very classic Shiloh, okay? This Shiloh comes up constantly. Moving to a new home, apartment, rabbi, the people who lived here before were not kosher. There's a dishwasher here. Can I use the dishwasher? Or what do I have to do to be able to use the dishwasher? Or how about this one? I'm going to throw out a wild idea for you with actually three different shitas in the post. I won't give you the sock right now. Could I use the same dishwasher for meat and dairy dishes?
I was going to ask something similar, like what? Not to be ignorant, but what's the tzad iser?
Because you could be ignorant, it's fine.
Huh?
You could be ignorant, it's fine.
I'm saying a dishwasher by definition, it's with soap. It's literally making everything pogum as pogum
okay.
as you can get.
So I have pogum flavors inside. That is it mutzvah l'chatrila or is it only b'di'evit? Right, a tam pogum.
That's the whole shadow we were starting.
Is that a tam pogum? Could I assume all the flavors are pogum? But we'll get there. There were deos that held that. Yeah, and there are deos that hold that you can use the same dishwasher meat and dairy. Believe it or not, I said, if you were to go into your kitchen and use the same dishwasher meat and dairy, in my kitchen, it's El, so I can Hashem nu bogad nu gozal nu dibar nidofi. It's El, so I can confess my chatam here. We only have one sink in my kitchen. We have one sink and we only have one oven. We'll get to Amir Tzashem. We'll get to Yerodeach Simin Mem Gimel Chelak Alf in the Igros and the number of sinks you need and why it's not a problem. And we also only have one dish rack. I remember when I first got married, so I tried to convince my wife that we don't have to have two separate dish racks for meat and dairy dishes. You take dishes, you wash them, they're clean, they're cold, you put them in the dish rack, so the water that drips off the dishes is not a dairy water or a meat water, it's a pot of water. So it took me a long time to convince my wife that, she also was worried about me traving up her kitchen. She should be worried. But it took me a long time to convince her that there's no issue there. But it's a fascinating question, right? Do you need separate sinks? Do you need separate dishwashers? Do you need separate ovens or stoves or stove tops? So do you have to have a dairy stove and a meat stove or not? Do you have to worry that when you cook a pot of meat on or a chicken soup, on the stove, that it spills over and then it's gotten into the grate? So now afterwards you're going to cook a pot of, a dairy soup on there or the like. And now the flavors that are in the grates are going to come into your pot. You have to worry, or you have to not worry. So all of these shilos are really nogea lemaisa, and the idea is going to be to understand the halacha, to understand the hanhaga, to understand where the two diverge, to understand as we go through Adam here in Hashem, where it's lichatchila to do it like this, where it's a shasa tchak or a b'di'evit, where it's a mokum hefsed or hefsed meruba, etc. There are times where the psak halacha of the Rav is going to change if it's an Erev Shabbos late in the afternoon and you have, no other food for Shabbos, and then you'll have an allowance for something else. Of course, then you have another Shiloh. Zilberstein has this Shiloh. Very interesting Shiloh. Let's say I have a psak halacha that comes in front of me that I can say het there because it's a mokum hefseh. It's Erev Shabbos late in the afternoon. He has the Shiloh that they had a bunch of guests at a particular Shabbos meal, in Bnei Brak, of course, And there was a shaila that came up with the schnitzel, but the psak was that it's mutter because even though there is a shaila there, but b'makom hefzed and erev Shabbos, so l'chashecha is b'makom hefzed, you could be matir. They have to tell the guest. They have to tell the guest, this schnitzel you're eating is shaila schnitzel, right? This is not schnitzel, you know, that's got, it's a schnitzel that had a psak halacha that's mutter, but based on a shaila, or not. Or not, and then you can see your guest. Some guests would say no, some guests would be very excited. Right, just, you know, like the Chamidi Neil that you'll come up to, that maybe if you say no, I won't eat it when the psak is that it's mutter. So maybe that's kfira. Maybe that in itself is apikorsus. What do you mean? I won't eat. What's your Shulchan Aruch, if not the Shulchan Aruch? What's your stated in halacha? The halacha is that it's mutter, and you're saying, no, I will not eat it. But then again, you find, right, the Navi Yecheskel, that if there's a maila to not eat any food that ever had a shayla on it. So maybe, you know, maybe yes. Maybe no, but I will tell you this as we start. Boston B'chol and Tarivos, you're gonna have a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. You're gonna roll up your sleeves. You're gonna break your head at times, but it's a lot of fun. It's very much Nogela Maisa, and you know it's not something you have to really get too imaginative in order to understand the world around you. Although I have to translate some of the Metzias from Yimei Kedem to our day. Ovens and stoves and what their ovens are like versus what ovens are like, what their pots are like versus what our pots are like, etc. But you'll enjoy it, you'll have a lot of fun, and you know the hope is that you'll walk out at the end of the Zman and the Zmanim knowing a little more than you came in knowing, right? So plead ignorance day one, wonderful, right? Plead ignorance at the end of the, you know, the summer Zman, well then it means that we didn't quite do it well, but we're going to have a good time together in Yirtzeh Hashem, and we'll try to go through everything step by step.
When it comes to halacha, like 1/60th or roiv or all these things, and where it's actually mutter, the food's mutter because of 1/60th or a roiv, does that make now the food is the, even the non kosher thing is kosher and it's 100% kosher, or is like no, I'm
so
to eat it.
Your question is a machlokas.
Why? Because of timtum aleh. Because some people, especially chassidim, are very into that.
Right, I'm very into Tim to my labor, into the.
No, into the. Yeah, no, you know what I
mean. Good lit fuck. Chassidim into Tim to my labor, right? It's, so good, we're gonna get there, Yirtzeh Hashem. That's the Rosh, the Rashba, and the Tosos read. Although there may be a difference between Basar B'cholov, or other Taruvos, so Yavish B'Yavish versus. Lach b'lach, a 60-1 versus a 3-1 ratio, Right. Just the tam, etc. There may be a nafkamina in those two areas. But Mirat Hashem will try to touch on everything. Certainly, if there's something that you are interested in going into in greater depth, if I can do so, I'm happy to do so. And, you know, I'll try to be in touch with Elio at least somewhat regularly to find out what we're holding and try to get there. But neither on Thursday, I want to try to go into Tam Ki'ikr and actually get into, you know, the heart of this, especially this big shach, in terms of the machlokas with the Tam Kikas Deraisin, to try to figure out what exactly is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch here, because it's not so clear, and whether it makes a nafkamin in lahalach. Okay, we'll stop there. Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll pick it up on Thursday.
It's nice to see you again, Rabbi.
Nice to be seen. I don't think I was keeping track of when I started this year. I think I thought I started at 12:30. I don't think I started at 12:30.
I helped the restaurant.